Okay, I will. Councillor Kempton, reconvene. Is that the word? Reconvene.
Not a bad word, is it?
The regulatory committee. So we're on to our third report, Lagwa Siphon in Otago, an interesting report. The key points from my perspective are appended are the three Lagwa Siphon management plans in place. That's an addendum. I had an opportunity to read, which outline the background of Lagwa Siphon in Otago, the vision statements, the management goals and objectives, various management scenarios and control options and key milestones agreed by the relevant stakeholders. With regard to Lakes Dunstan and Wanaka, LINZ is the lead agency and is responsible for management of the lake beds and associated weed and pest control programs. So there it is. The recommendation ultimately is the report be noted. I'm going to go out of this report and it'll be open if I can find it, the addendum. But I'm going to open this up for discussion. Lagwa Siphon in Otago, 113 pages. I'm going to open it up. Councillor Laws.
Thank you. Thank you.
Scott.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing is, I just want to say to my council colleagues that I'd like to see the Otago Regional Council take the lead on this issue of Lagwa Siphon. I don't want to see us abrogate our responsibility to LINZ. At the moment, the Otago Regional Council doesn't provide a cent on Lagwa Siphon control. $100,000, I think, is split between LINZ and Contact Energy as to where that money comes from. And the only reason that LINZ is the lead agency is because we're not. Yes, they're responsible for the lake bed, but they've taken that lead agency by default. It doesn't belong to them as of statutory right. Now, my argument is the Otago Regional Council has responsibility for pest management, and you can't get a bigger pest at the moment than Lagwa Siphon for Dunstan, Wanaka, and the waterways attached and associated, particularly with the spread to Wakatipu and potentially other waterways and lakes in the region. And I am concerned greatly by the fact that at the moment we've got a review of the pest management plan. But as I've said to Scott over morning tea, that review will take place in the next financial year. So that's the 17-18 financial year. So there will be no change at all intended for implementation until the 2018-2019 financial year, which is still 2 years distant, over 2 years distant. And I don't believe that we can wait that long. So I really would...
Less than a year and a half, yeah.
It's 2017 now. We won't be able to do anything until
July
2018-19.
July 2018, yeah. Which is...
Sorry, yeah.
Which is less than a year and a half.
Yeah. But given the way the process is... Okay. The issue then becomes, what should we do in the meantime? Now, I would argue very strongly and have argued, advocated publicly and on the stump, and I'm advocating for it now, that the Otago Regional Council should take very seriously its responsibilities under the Biosecurity Act and regard Lagwa Siphon as something that we take the lead on, and that we fund for in the 2017-18 financial year in our draft annual plan that we'll be discussing later. If you have a look at the management plan, there is the suggestion, and I've discounted it before, that everybody is sort of okay on it. The reality is that virtually all the parties that are a tenant to this, in terms of individuals who are representing the constituent bodies, would love to see more action, except there's just no funding for it. That's the reality of the situation. They would like to take more action on Lagwa Siphon. They'd like to be both more reactive and proactive, but the funding isn't there. And LINZ have already publicly advocated or publicly expressed the concern, those who represent LINZ on this particular group, that their funding is not guaranteed, that indeed it could be pulled at this budget from central government. So there's no confirmation or indeed guarantee that the funding that is already put into the LIMS, into the leg recycle management strategy, is going to be there. Now, I'm saying, as our statutory responsibility, as our indication that we lead on the issue of lake management and on lake water quality, that the Otago Regional Council should not just be a seat at the table, but should be the leading seat at the table, and that we should be advocating for and chairing a much more direct and proactive strategy when it comes to lake recycling management in the Central and Southern Lakes. The other thing is that the lake recycling issue now has become so significant that it is causing what could only be considered aesthetic damage to the attributes of particularly Lake Dunstan. And if you come through the Lindis Pass and you're a tourist of this country and you look out upon Lake Dunstan, you'll soon be able to walk across the water, because the brown stain, or the stain of the carpet that envelops the top of Lake Dunstan, is significant. And what we're doing at the moment is sort of we're tinkering on this issue. We don't know what we want to do, because the stuff that we really want to do, this group can't afford. And the stuff that it does do just simply tinkers with the issue. For example, you might spray at the growing time of the year. You know next year it'll be back. So, and it hasn't halted the spread of lake recycling. In fact, lake recycling's increased down the Kawera River and down the particular riverway over the last 12 to 18 months. So all I'm suggesting is, councillors, that we take a lead on this issue. And if that means putting funding and a much more proactive plan around lake recycling into the 17-18 draft plan, then let's do so. But at the moment, all we're doing is tinkering, and we're only tinkering because there isn't the money there. There are lots of strategies that could be employed. There are lots of alternatives that might be tried. There are lots of options that could be utilised. But the reality is the funding isn't there to make it happen. And I think it's critical that the Otago Regional Council provide the leadership on this issue and a good balance of that funding.
Okay, so I think Councillor Laws fundamentally is saying is that the management plans could be better, and that potentially the ORC could do a better job, possibly Councillor Robertson.
Thank you Councillor Laws as well for your views. Undoubtedly it's an issue that's very dear to wide communities, and I think it's unfair to say that we're not taking a lead role. We are taking a lead role in this coming year, and that is through consultation on our pest plan and what we do with our lake recycling. Yeah, we could leap in there and throw some money in next year, but how do we know that's the best, you know, the way we're investing is going to be the best? We need to make sure that we consult widely with communities, hit the areas that are the priorities, have the technical information behind it to make sure that that's a sound investment, if that was the way that the community wanted us to go. I think we're going as fast as we can with the pest plan review. We're hoping to have community consultation coming up and probably in the next few months. Absolutely agree, it's a very important issue. It's the way that we deal with it and how we be a lead agency. That's probably what we perhaps disagree on.
Okay. Councillor Dee.
Yeah, I too thank Councillor Laws for highlighting this issue, because it's been around for so long. And it does seem to me, as an interested observer, to be getting worse all the time, particularly in Lake Dunstan. It horrifies me to see how much there is now in the lower part of that lake, not to mention the area up in the northwest extremity, which was highlighted in an ODT photograph recently as seriously choked up with with this weed. I want to ask through you, Mr. Chairman, of the director, if this council did say to him, here's another $50,000, go and hit the leg of a siphon and make it go away, what would he do?
Good question. I was going to ask it myself, Mr.
through the chair, if we were expecting Allegra Siphon to go away with 50 to 100,000, my personal view is this council would have already done it. Lynn's would have done it. It will take significantly more resource than that. I think one important thing to note is Lynn's are the landowner. Under the scenario that ORC are responsible for control of a pest on an agency's property, I'll just point out that Lynn's are also a very big landowner, and a lot of that land falls within our Gorse and Broome free area, a lot of riverbeds. So under that scenario, we would have to go in on top of their mountain tops and control their gorse, control their broom, their old man's beard. So I think the messaging is really important that Lynn's are the responsible agency. Where ORC could come in is to support the management plans. We're already a signatory to those. I was asked to update the council on the management of Leg Siphon, so I've appended those management plans. Because the agri-siphon's come up once or twice in this triennium, I put those in for council's consideration in the lead up to this annual plan. So the work plans are in place, and if council and the community so desire to accelerate those or expand them, then that, through the annual plan, that would be the time to do it. Again, you're dealing with a landowner. You can't just go in and do work on a landowner's property, but I'm not suggesting for a minute Lynn's wouldn't welcome more support and funding. With respect to the community groups, particularly the Guardians of Lake Dunstan, about a year ago perhaps, the Chief Executive and I met with that group. We understood that they were pretty frustrated, and they told us so. So I've been working with that group a number of times over the last few months, or over the last year, getting them into a position where they can make a meaningful submission to our annual plan for council to consider and the wider community. So we have listened to them, but it hasn't been budgeted for in the past for Lake Dunstan. And the Chief Executive and I met with them with that purpose of explaining the annual plan process, and we should expect to see a submission to this upcoming annual plan from the Guardians of Lake Dunstan. So, are they happy with management of Leg Siphon in Lake Dunstan? No, certainly not. They are a signatory to this. They would like to see it accelerated. So the management plans were put in this for council to consider what level of extra support, if any, they give. So
yeah. Before I go to Councillor Kempton, can I ask a question? Just, you know, it's easy to say with Leg Siphon, well, you know, it's all bad, and it's certainly been around for a long time, I think. Since it was first found, 1950, I think, Lake Wanaka. But when I read the Wanaka management plan, that they're having some successes, yeah? They're not eradicating it, you know, full stop, but they're having some successes. They've got a containment zone, they've got a buffer zone, they've got some priorities, the focus, they've got some resource, and so forth. So, we're saying, you know, Dunstan's a lot of work to do, but Wanaka, Dunstan, Carrow, like, is it all bad? Are there things going on there that we can sort of learn from? And, like, if there's some success going on in Wanaka, and Lynn's the key agency there, or is it just a funding thing? Is it just a timing thing? The fact that we've been remiss in terms of what, getting accelerated as early as possible in Dunstan and Cara. The big picture, you know, like there's dimensions to it. Any comment, Mr. McLean?
You will certainly with Lake Dunstan, it's the downstream end of where the Lagra siphon originates.
Yeah.
So unless Lagra siphon was totally eradicated upstream, there's always going to be Lagra siphon in
yeah.
Lake Dunstan. So they're certainly in Lake Wanaka making, through sustained control, they're making progress. And that sort of harks back to, if those programs were to be funded or accelerated, would they make faster progress? Probably. But those work plans are in place. So,
and Lynn's doing a good job in Wanaka.
They're making progress and are sticking to the management plan that we have signed up to, and QLDC have signed up to. So they're making progress under the terms of reference of those management plans. When they were constructing Lake Dunstan, they identified Lagra siphon as a latent risk.
Yeah.
And the way they constructed it with the terraces lends the ideal habitat for Lagra siphon to grow. So they knew that, but the primary purpose of that lake was hydro generation, hydropower, with a secondary benefit of recreational value. So they knew before that lake was finished that it would have Lagra siphon.
Yeah.
There's certainly indications from NIWA is all available habitat for Lagra siphon in Lake Dunstan is occupied by Lagra siphon. So it's saturated, in their words. It'll only grow to a certain depth, so the deeper parts of the lake aren't affected. But certainly all the available habitat has Lagra siphon. So.
Okay, no, thank you for that. But I've got Councillor Kempton, Councillor Bell, and I think Councillor Woodhead. Yeah?
Is there, I mean, it seems to me that to control Lagra siphon, you spray it on an annual basis, or you do some underwater mowing on maybe an annual basis of some description. Right. Is there anywhere that you're aware of where, for instance, Lagra siphon has been eradicated? I mean, actually got rid of out of the waterway, and it's stayed that way. Because it seems to me that the only way you can do that is to actually change the activities that take place there. Right? On the basis that, you know, every time somebody brings a boat with a bit tied around the propeller or whatever, you're back to where you started. And it seems to me that we really do need to, I mean, the idea of just spinning like a top and saying it's got to go is
yeah.
entirely unrealistic, and certainly with respect to Lake Dunstan, I support the prioritisation processes that are looked at there. But the guardians of Lake Dunstan, or whatever their term is, I can't remember, the Lake Dunstan people that you talk to, do they have an expectation of eradication, or do they have an expectation of maybe larger priority areas being generally Lagra siphon free? What's their
yeah.
expectation? What are their aspirations?
Eradication or priority zones? Or
through the chair, they're pretty realistic. They know they won't achieve eradication. They are wanting to. I understand their submission will be funding for some underwater mowing of areas that are outside of the already identified high value areas. So they're identifying areas that are of a higher value to them than what was previously agreed. So the underwater mowing might give you a couple of months of being able to boat without being tangled up in the Lagra siphon. They know that it'll grow back within a few months, probably by the end of summer, but their indications are they're wanting to trial an area that's outside the high value areas that are identified in the management plan and the pest management plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Bowen.
through you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McLean is quite right. The Upper Clutha Electrical Development Committees of the day, which was made up of all the local government people in that area, did come to that conclusion that weed and possibly Lagrasiphon, but weed and all that area on the top end of Bendigo, part of the Dunstan Lake, that was exactly what it is today, is what they thought it was going to be. However, I do sympathise, and you'll be able to go back and see all those reports, Councillor Law's, all those old paper clippings, because it was a very strong debate of whose responsibility that may well be in the future. I do agree with Councillor Law's, we do need to take a more stronger lead of some description in this role, and I think it will only be controlling in the appropriate spots that are probably where recreation is carried out in certain areas. You can't do the whole lake. You're not going to be able to eradicate the problem. And maybe we have that... we should have that responsibility. How it's funded, I don't know whether we're going to rate... how the rating would be for that, whether it's a regional process. But I'm very mindful. We have a lot of other dams, and every time I go past the Eiderburn Dam at Turihua, it's getting more and more weed there. We're getting weed everywhere. It's just not there. It is everywhere in our lakes and our dams, and it's a reality of what we've got in our particular area of Central Otago. And I'm just wondering how we actually do this, because you could well get others, as you were just suggesting with Lynn's, asking us to do a lot more in a lot of other areas. So whatever we do, this management thing has to be done for the right reasons and somehow promoted in a way, you know, that it's just not open-ended for everywhere, because there is a problem everywhere.
Before I go to Councillor Woodhead, I'm struggling to see how, you know, making the ORC as a lead agency is really going to add any extra value in terms of, you know, on the ground. You know, okay, there's a potential funding, but we can potentially fund now more if it was required. Nobody's talking eradication. You know, talking priority, you're talking you know, subtle improvements. As Councillor Kempton said, none of it's permanent. Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you're right there to a point, but the longer term plan, as I understood it, was to eradicate from Lake Wanaka.
That's right.
And as the source for Dunstan, and then lift the game in Lake Dunstan over time. The current test strategy, which reflects through to the agreements that these reports show us, we're protecting the high value areas, access to swimming beaches, boat rooms, etc. We can see that in it. And so, you know, I sympathise with the let's do more, and it doesn't look pretty at times, but actually has been identified. We knew this was going to happen. It was an area that was shallow, large areas with nutrients, and weeds were going to grow. End of story. So I think we need to be very careful and not jump in and take the lead. We have a regulatory role, we have a collaborative role as a partner, but letting the Crown off the hook, who is Lynn's as the Crown, has significant implications. And actually, we've been having discussions nationally with the Crown for a number of years around these good neighbour responsibilities, and they've actually started to face up to it a little more, and they need to, whether it's the Department of Conservation or Lynn's. So the discussions that need to occur, we need to use the community drive that's been reflected in Councillor Law's comments for more to be done to encourage that group of interested or involved stakeholders to all lift the game. It's not just ORC or the Otago regional ratepayers on their own. There is some responsibility for the landowner. And there's some responsibility for the generator, because they occupy the land that provide the water for aquatic weed to grow in. And Councillor Butcher and I spent a number of hours with a lawyer in the middle of the hearings for the last review of the pest plan on that exact point. So we all need to take some responsibility, and we need to be careful not to put Grandma in the back street in South Dunedin at risk of paying for more of this than she should. I think the next couple of years is an ideal opportunity to encapsulate that community pressure and work with our stakeholders, lock it in our new pest plan, and maybe review the strategies for all these lakes. And so we all have a clear understanding of where we're going to head in the future. As part of that, Mr. Chairman, just a bit of information, the OIC and QLDC have recently written to the chief executive of LINZ, Mr. Crisp, I think it is, around the lack of siphon in the Kawarra River.
Yes.
So there was a draft strategy put in place last year, Mr. McLean, and it hasn't been confirmed. And so Mr. Bolt and I have signed, Mayor Bolt and I have signed a letter saying, get your act together and get this strategy in place, because again, the area in the Kawarra River is growing and needs dealt with, and it's putting Frankton Arm of Lake Wakatip at risk.
Yes.
So there is a bit of action happening behind the scenes, but I think we need to try and gather up that passion and the energy and the enthusiasm in the community, and as a group of stakeholders come together to make progress into the future. But it's the last comment, this is a long-term job.
Okay, there's some good words in there. Before I go to Councillor Lawton, just quickly, Mr. McLean, Councillor Wood here talks about a vision of eradication of lag recycling in Wanaka. In fact, I asked you exactly that question 5 minutes ago. Is that possible?
I guess it might be the overall goal, but indications from NIWA is that it would be unlikely to ever declare eradication, owing to the fact that a fragment as small as 7 millimetres can take root and grow. Where there's very, very little lag siphon, the means of detecting it are with scuba divers doing grid searches. So you only, if you've got a very, very small plant growing, it only needs a little bit of sediment over that, and you won't see it. Obviously, you're in underwater, and there's potential for that to take hold. So, whilst it's a goal, but it's a lofty goal, and it, you know, probably should be aiming for eradication.
Yeah.
Whether it could be achieved, maybe a big call. And there's always the risk of spread from water users. Classic example of that was highlighted recently. While staff were investigating a cyanobacteria bloom in the Albertown lagoons, there was a suggestion made that it may be caused by stormwater from a subdivision. So the stormwater detention ponds were looked at, and they were fine in terms of cyanobacteria. But when staff were looking at them, this is only last week, they found lag siphon. So that lag siphon's gotten there by people. Probably either someone emptying an aquarium, because it doesn't detract from water quality, it oxygenates the water. So a lot of people used to use it in aquariums. Or it's been washed off a boat propeller down to the stormwater and into the detention pond. So, I mean, it's not a risk to anything, but it's a man-made detention pond with lag siphon. So, yeah, the risk, even if it were eradicated, lag siphon exists in other parts of the South Island, and all you need is someone to bring in a small fragment, and by the time you start noticing it, it'll be well established.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Lawton.
Yes, just through the chair. So, to be clear, if LINZ, the landowner, what is their responsibility? Do they have ultimate responsibility to get rid of lag siphon, to control it, and if so, to what level? I sympathy with what Councillor Law said, because it just seems to me that somebody needs to say, we have ultimate responsibility for this. And if it's not us, then LINZ. And do they accept that ultimate responsibility?
Through the chair, LINZ have a responsibility through our pest management plan, and that's to keep those identified high-value areas free of lag siphon. So they are looking forward to, as are the partners of these management plans, looking forward to a review of the pest management plan, because they, indications from LINZ are they're ready to expand those areas and look at other areas. But in terms of the way the pest plan is written, in terms of our responsibility as a regulator, is to, I don't know the exact wording of it, but to put pressure on the government agency responsible.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Councillor Laws.
Can I frame a motion, please?
Okay.
The Otago Regional Council approach government ministers with the intention of further resourcing further improving and further resourcing Lagra siphon control and management in the Southern Lakes. Now, can I speak to that? Well, I'll have to need a seconder for it first.
Can we have a second?
Sure. Jim, can we ask for it to be read out again? I think that's intent, but let's.
Yeah.
Okay. So that Lauren's got it, right?
That the Otago Regional Council approach central government ministers with the intention of improving and further resourcing Lagra siphon control and management in the Southern Lakes.
Southern Lakes?
Southern, capital S, capital L.
Otago Council approach central government ministers
with
the intention of improving and further resourcing
Lagra
siphon control management in the Southern Lakes.
Yes. Okay, do we have a seconder? Councillor Noon. Okay, you wish
I'll
to...
I'll briefly speak to it. Stephen, we are the community. We are the elected representatives of the Otago region, as you well know. And the community has expressed grave concern to us all, about the state of the Southern Lakes and the potential for further deterioration. So we're it, us. And I'm always a great believer, particularly in election years, that there is a certain susceptibility of central government to concerns that come from representative bodies such as the Otago Representative Regional Council. I don't want to wait. I want us to get involved now, and I want us to show leadership. And I think the great concern is that we'll find plenty of excuses not to get involved, but if we go to central government has a particular responsibility for the Southern Lakes because they are iconic. Our largest export earner currently is tourism, and so many of our tourists come to the Southern Lakes for an experience that they couldn't enjoy anywhere else in the world. So I think that the ministers of biosecurity, tourism, environment and conservation could be profitably approached by a direct approach, and you're the man to do it on our behalf. But you need a direction from us or a request from us, and I think this motion provides it.
Okay, I'm going to open that up for this debate and discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Noon, seconder.
Briefly, and I pick up on what Councillor Woody said before, if we can extract more Crown money to be spent in the region, the little old lady in South Dunedin or the little old lady in Arrowtown pays less. I'm all for that.
Jeepers, you're showing your DCC colours, aren't you? What about, Councillor Noon, what about, you're going to go up the next day and ask them about Lake Snow as well?
When we have that debate, I'll reserve my judgment on that.
Councillor Kempton.
Well, there is actually, not wanting to be too flippant about the Lake Snow thing. I mean, this is an area where government need a part of the whole package around a water charge for tourism and things like that they're thinking about,
yeah,
is that those things aren't necessarily about providing new bright shiny facilities. They might be about holding on to the natural attributes that we have and that we sell, and which to a degree are affected by their use or overuse. So it is part of that package, and I support what Councillor Laws is saying. I think that it may be particularly timing, given some of the left field thinking that's likely to be going on in those areas now.
Okay. Councillor Laws, should it be broadened to Lake Snow, or is it just Lake Recycling?
Well, the government is involved at the moment with the Bay of Plenty Regional Council in doing something about the Rotorua Lakes and the lakes in that area. I think we need to get more political as an organisation, and I think that given that there is government involvement in this area and a particular government investment, and that to an extent we are dealing with the issues of that the government is profiting from through taxation of tourism and dealing with the development, particularly of that region that has happened as a consequence, and migrants like me who want to go and live there as well, then central government does have a role and a responsibility. So I would start on Lake Recifen, but I would certainly expect Stephen to broaden the discussion to other aspects of Southern Lakes water quality.
Councillor Robinson, and then Councillor Recorder.
Conscious that we've perhaps got starting a discussion that's very important, but maybe wider than this paper. This is a Lake Recifen paper, but I think that we are touching on something that's really important. And that is that we have got something extremely important inland and in our region, I suppose, which is our lakes. They're actually internationally significant rather than just nationally significant as well. That's what we're picking up on. And I do think that we need to be taking a lead role. But the lead role isn't on Lake Recifen. The lead role is on raising nationally issues that affect these. Oh, they are pretty much pristine on an international level, waterways. And the investment in Rotorua, that's really very important, restoring those lakes, but keeping our lakes in absolutely wonderful condition is, I would argue, even more important. And that's what we do need to advocate for. We've got, I know we've got a lot of very wonderful groups working, guardian groups, etc., but they need to be brought together and coordinated, and we can take a lead role in that as well. And as a voice, as Councillor Laws is saying, nationally advocating for that, investment needs to be in our lakes even more strongly than Rotorua. This is much wider than Lake Recifen, so if I don't support the Lake Recifen one today, it's not because I'm not interested in the wider issue.
Would am I taking from that you would like to take the recommendation or the, to be brought in Lake Recifen?
Yeah, I don't think this is the paper for it.
Really?
I think
it's been specifically referred to Lake Recifen, is my understanding.
It's only because that's the issue that we're discussing at the moment, and because it's the overwhelming issue. But what I'm saying is that you would expect that if we take the issue on this, then we should be going on other ones as well.
No good. I'd like to get a much better coordinated, wider, well thought through project than just hit Lake Recifen now. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put this motion.
Could it be read again?
Just add to that that I'd be in favour of a response to national government which actually looks across the range of issues that we have, because we know that for example, some of the treatment for Lake Recifen might actually be responsible or contribute to the lake's no problem. There's interactions going on here between these various aquatic pests that need to be borne in mind. You can to some degree have a single pest strategy, but really it's a whole gambit that we need to be looking at. We've got loads now, and the cyanobacteria in Albert Town is just another one that's added to the list. So slowly our waterways are degrading. And as we've already been mentioned, you know, this is a key part of our economy. It's why people come to live here. It's got national significance. It's not just about little old ladies in Dunedin. So, and I'm sure that they probably want clean lakes just as much as anybody. I would support much more of a coordinated, let's look at all those aquatic pests and see what we can do with central government. We need a response from them.
Okay, before I go to Lauren to re-read the motion, I'm just going to go to Ms. McCrae.
Can I just suggest that the wording of it tries to identify what's wanted to be achieved by the effort in the lake, / lakes, rather than just expend money?
Yeah.
So we're better able to get a target of what done would look like, having it worked on it, to get a better public understanding of what's really wanted.
Okay, should the word eradication be in there?
It's a serious and large word from what I understand about Lake Recifen.
Someone will bring the weed in.
The community, can I answer that question?
Yes, I'm going to go to Councillor Woodhead and then to you, Councillor Lords.
Well, I think we just need to be careful we're not locking ourselves into...
Yeah.
Essentially, what's been asked, and I'm totally supportive of,
yes,
is starting a conversation.
Yes,
you've got some responsibilities here,
yes, exactly.
Minister.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually, there's a bigger topic that Councillor Rollins and Lawton have identified also, so we're keen to have a chat.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's quite advantageous that it's election year. And I've had conversations coming back the other way with ministers as late as Monday on the Marae about lakes.
Okay.
So
good.
Let's not constrain ourselves with targets at this point. Let's start with a chat and a briefing.
We know your point, Mr. Craig.
Just 2 points. The first point is just to endorse what Steve has just said. Gretchen, the wider issue, they're not in conflict, I see, either your aim, which I'm totally in support of, and this seemed to be complementary rather than in conflict. So it's about getting that door open and having the motion to go and do that. Even with John here from the Otago Daily Times, is going to help in that process. Can I answer your one? Listen, we could eradicate, it would just cost us $2 or $3 million to do it. But I would like us to have that conversation with the government and start that conversation. I think that conversation needs to start now. This motion provides for that to happen.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Is what we've got to have some idea of what we're trying to achieve by whatever we're doing.
Well, It says with the intention of improving and further resourcing Lagra sulphur control and management on the Southern Lakes.
Yeah.
That's the foot in the door.
Okay. Lauren, can you just reaffirm the whole motion, please?
The Otago Regional Council approached central government ministers with the intention of improving and further resourcing lagra sulphur control management in the Southern Lakes.
Okay. There it is. Mover and the seconder are happy. I'm going to put the motion if there's no further discussion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay. In relation to the previous recommendation that the report be received, I'll put that as well. Do I have a mover? Do I need to do that in terms of protocols? Phrase if you think. The original recommendation that it be received. Yeah. Okay. So do I have a mover? Please, that the original recommendation report be received. Councillor Woodhead, Councillor Noon seconded. Those for,
aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Thank you for that discussion. Right, we're getting there. What's the time? Resource RMA Act 1991, Biosecurity Act 93, Building Act 2004, enforcement activities from November to 23rd January. So there it is. The Resource Management Act will permit activity inspections. There's an infringement notice. In fact, there are 16 infringement notices in this period, which I understand were principally from dairy inspections. Mr. McLean, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a complaints response process, so in terms of infringement notices there were 6, and the breakdowns there, 2 for disturbance of the river, 3 for discharge contaminants to land, or it may enter water, and 1 deposit of sediment on the bed of a river. And there were no authorised legal proceedings. There was 1 abatement notice for to cease discharging the contaminant in breach of the regional law. There it is. Any comment? Well, maybe this report is named Mr. McRae. Mr. McLean, like the 16 dairy infringement notices, is that in line historically? Are we going to get a further report on that? Normally we get a dairy report, don't we? Is this just a... Are we going to get a report on the dairy inspections?
Not unless there is some sort of aberration or something that requires greater explanation or investigation or something, but this is the normal reporting, but it's a reflection of the season.
The typical situation would be we would get some type of breakdown and compare it with previous years. Over the last 10 years, we have a pretty standard report on that.
At the end of the inspection period, end of the year, there is a summary.
Don't assume that all of those are dairy related, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'm only saying what I've been told.
Yeah, yep.
I'm not assuming.
No. Okay. Well.
Am I incorrect?
There are some non-dairy work that we're doing at the moment.
Is that with one of the TAs?
Correct.
Any discussion on that, anybody? No? Give me any good work up. Okay, so we've got a recommendation that the report be noted. We have a mover. Councillor Kempton. A seconder. Councillor Robinson. No further discussion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Okay, I think this is the final. No, it's not. It's the second final report. I won't click down there. This is our Consent and Building Act report to 5th of November 2016. A lot of this we have seen before. The Oceanic Gold, the difference is that the appeal period is now closed and that was granted to the Port of Otago. The hearing was in November. The decision is pending. There were various limited applications. Two applications, limited notification in the period. There were an objection regarding Waitaki District Council in relation to the water supply. It is the consent admin, the building consent, authority admin, public inquiries. There it is. Any comment?
I can just add that there has been an appeal to the Oceana Gold.
Okay, which I was going to ask. There has been an appeal in the last...
Two appeals.
Two appeals. Okay, thank you. Okay, if no further discussion, do we have a mover that report be noted? Councillor Deka has moved. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Robinson. No further discussion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, thank you. I think, okay, this here is our final report. And this report has been permanent replacements to water groups reporting period 6th of November. Welcome, Marion. Can I ask Marion quite simply, is what the changes in this report compared with the previous report? There's an update here in terms of meetings, group meetings that are going on. You've referred to contact with Representative Albert Byrne and so forth, with various communications. You've reaffirmed the performance targets and some progress. Are we on track? That's probably the question.
Mr. Chairman, we've still got 400 odd den permits that need to be replaced before 2020.
Good answer.
And when they come in is anybody's guess at this point. But there is a lot of work going on to encourage people to get on with it.
Thank you.
And the uptake of that has been pretty good.
That's good. So in terms of the report in 6 weeks' time, as councillors, what should we be looking for? What are the things that we should be looking for? Is it just that the meetings are going on? Should we be attending? There's still meetings coming up, Lowburn, Gibston, Emmersfield. Should we be attending these meetings?
Mr. Chairman, it's up to elected representatives whether they wish to go to those meetings or not. Generally, they are meetings with permit holders where they want to talk about what it means to them
to
replace permits and inquire officers.
Certainly.
And all that kind of thing. This report is really about just letting you know the kind of work that's going on and where our activities are, and then the final objectives. Those are the performance objectives in terms of the annual plan targets and the long-term objectives, because we really have a end date for those in 2020, and so it's a very slow progress in terms of the targets up until probably 2019. I'd expect them to start moving by then.
Okay, well, thank you, Fraser, for all your work, Mr. Bodecker, and Marion, for all your work. Thank you for this report. Thank you. Okay, so any discussion? Sorry, Councillor
Deacon. No problem. Under point four, communications. Interesting, but could I, through you, probably unfairly, ask Mrs. Rowe whether there has been any noticeable shift in traffic on the website area which applies to this, particularly that, I think, excellent step-by-step process guide for how you go about moving from a deemed permit to a consent.
I can't tell you the answer to that, but I can certainly look into the stats and
that connection. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Vicker. Any other comments? Like, we're getting a paper in policy, Councillor Robinson, yeah, in relation to some of the mechanics of deemed permanent transitions, is that right, Mr. McCrae?
There's another report there around the plan change.
Yeah.
Or several plan changes in relation to the minimum flows.
Yeah. And
another plan change.
Okay.
We'll discuss, yeah.
Councillor Kempton.
Yeah, the it always nags away at me, the 400-odd deemed surface water permits. We know that some of them will probably be set aside, and there'll be others where there'll be consents and so on involved, or new consent applications. Do we actually have an estimate, or have we attempted to estimate what the workload will be around that? If you imagine, for instance, between now and 2020, there are, in fact, 400 consents applications still. I'm not suggesting there will be that many, but if there are 400 consent applications, well, you know, we're starting to look at several a week to actually make that happen. And it seems to me that, given the patterns that might have been established to date in terms of, you know, they might indicate the kind of workload that we've got, and then we can take a look at that and say, if we don't get the first of those until January 18, then this is the kind of consenting workload we're going to have. Or if it's January 2019, then it's this kind of workload, and do medium to long term consenting resource plan. I may be out on a limb. Has that work been done? Is there any advice you can give us around that?
Okay, I'm going to pass this to Mr. Bodek up, and then, but the comment I would make, as you referred to 400, was one of the objectives performance targets is that 50% of these water permits are actually taken over by groups.
Yes,
I'd
that's
be surprised
right,
if it's 400. But Mr. Bodecker and Mr. McCray can jump in too, I'm sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, there is a resource review underway. It's at its early stages. Terms of reference for that review are being drawn up at the moment and will be circulated to councillors when they are completed. And front and centre of that is the 1C deemed permit changes,
yes,
particularly around the consenting group and the science group. I mean, it's right across the organisation. Excuse me, when we have a consent along this line.
Yeah, through the chair, I can just ask a supplementary question around that. This year's annual plan, any significant step up there, or are we leaving that for the following year? That is, are you expecting an immediate flow on, a wee bit later in the cycle it will be, but a wee bit of flow on into this next annual plan from the results of the resourcing review, or do you expect that to largely impact the following year?
We're going to find that out this afternoon, aren't we? Mr. McCray or Mr. Bodecker?
Well, if I can answer that question, we expect that in the following year. We have got a significant increase in resourcing for this year, which is a reflection of the conversations that have been had around this table by council.
Yes.
And the resourcing review will formalise and extend that thinking out our 10 years. So it's genuinely a long-term plan initiated activity.
Can I say too that it's not predicted to be a one-to-one relationship of the 400 consents.
No, I understand.
We're getting a many-to-one based on a sample of one that's gone through,
yes,
Salburn,
yes,
for example. So we're potentially going to see bigger groups of TAFE come together under a single consent, and the work that this report is actually reporting on is part of that,
yes,
so that when that work gets to us for processing as a consent, there won't be as much work required. Not to say that there won't be an increase in work either.
Yeah, I accept that, but it's just that the modelling is being done,
yes,
and that we're actually acting on what we find out.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So it's thinking about numbers and location for some of,
yes,
those numbers as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? If no further discussion, the recommendation is report be noted. Do we have a mover for that, please? Councillor Hope, was that your hand in the air?
Thank you.
A seconder? Councillor Robinson. No further discussion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Close today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee. Thank you.
Councillor.